All right. Today is called Confession Awareness Day. Confession Awareness. There have been too many situations where people confess things that didn't come to pass, claiming things that didn't happen. And it hurts the faith, does it not? When you confess, and it doesn't happen, and then you do it again and again, and nothing happens, eventually you stop expecting. Have you been there? You're not alone. But it can leave you bitter, confused, disillusioned. And it will affect those around you, because when it affects you, you infect everyone around you. Why aren't our confessions working? First off, what is your confession founded on? What is our nation founded on? On the Word. On God. That's what our Constitution writes. That's a strong foundation. They keep trying to erase it, but you can't erase what God puts in place. Yep. His hand is upon this nation, and that's all I'll say about that. So you had a good founding. We should take example for what he did with our founding fathers. See, they listened. Now, not all of them were Christians, but they did listen to God. Our confessions will only work if they are founded on the Word of God and if they're rooted in faith. And we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now, in studying that, and then this morning, I realized something, because I was praying for people and reading different scriptures. I'd read Psalm 91 over all of you. Amen. Over all of you. And I claimed Galatians 3:13 and 14 for you. And then, but I was reading this, and then I had my Bible open, and it said, so I looked at verse in chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 2, says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" By hearing. Verse 5, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you," and we've had miracles being worked among us, "does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Real faith comes by hearing. But here's where most get turned around. The hearing referred to in this verse is much more than having the sound waves go in and bounce off of your eardrums, or just having read the Bible. The kind of hearing that brings faith is the same kind of hearing Jesus referred to in Matthew 11:15, when he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." See, we all have physical ears. So what did Jesus mean? See, he was talking about the state of one's heart. In the spirit realm, you hear with your heart. That is your spirit man. So could it be you aren't hearing with your heart? Hearing with your ear only, not with your heart. The condition of one's heart affects their ability to hear. If you are bitter, angry, disgruntled, unforgiving, or think you have it all figured out, you're not hearing with your heart. You can't. And you're going to miss what God has to say to you. When you're resistant to the idea that you might be wrong about something, you're going to have trouble hearing from God. Whether it be through His Word or others. An unwilling heart makes a deaf spiritual ear, which causes our confessions to be led by the flesh and not by the Spirit. A willing heart, on the other hand, makes a hearing ear. A willing heart, did you get that? It makes, a hearing ear. A willing heart is one that believes and receives what God is saying to us in His Word by Holy Spirit. And when we are, listen to this one, willing and obedient to believing and receiving His Word, we will eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19, just to make sure you know it's the Word I'm giving you. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not referring to a performance issue here. I'm referring to a believing. In fact, simply believing. A willing heart makes a hearing ear. But that's only the beginning. You need God's anointing to hear. A rhema word with your heart, and then line up your confession accordingly. A rhema is a spoken utterance by Holy Spirit directly to you regarding a scripture or situation. Hearing from God is what most of us desire more than anything. The Greek word logos is the written word of God. We learn, grow, and are instructed through reading His Word. Most of us can agree a situation arises and we know we need a word from God. So we go to the Bible and we start flipping through the pages, searching for the answer. But we can't seem to find that word that fits our situation. See, that's when you need a rhema word. The Greek word rhema is a quickened, made alive to your spirit, specific word from Holy Spirit, a word directly to you. It helps us to see a single scripture in a whole new light and apply it to our life. It tells us exactly how to respond to a specific circumstance. It will bring a small correction to our life that will change our entire situation almost immediately. A rhema word is designed to guide you and impart life to you. One small rhema word from the Lord has great power and can accomplish much. If you're facing a situation today and you need an answer on how to handle it, it's time to ask God for a rhema word. Even if you aren't looking for a specific answer, a rhema word from God will propel you forward in your faith like nothing else. So with that, I have a prayer that you can say to receive a rhema word from God that you can pray. I'm going to read it here to you. But if you'd like to have a copy of it, there's some over at the sound booth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have given me your word to guide, correct, and comfort me. I believe that your word is life and truth to my spirit, and I receive the power of your written word in my life. Lord, you know my situation, and you could name it. I desire to only say what you say and do what you do. I desire to obey you and heed your instructions because I know they will always lead me to victory. So today, Lord, I am asking for a rhema word from you. Please give me ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive the exact rhema Holy Spirit desires to deliver to me. I open my heart to listen so I can clearly see the illuminated word you have for me. Thank you for loving me and guiding me into all triumph in your name. And now I am expecting to receive a rhema word regarding this situation in Jesus' name. That situation that has you perplexed right now, God wants to give you an answer. He wants you healed, delivered, prospering, advancing, increasing, and every other good thing. Because all good things come from above. And God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. There's nothing bad about that, is there? When you pray that prayer, believe, rhema word is coming to you. Receive it. Didn't make it hard. Receive it. When you pray it in faith, expect it and just receive it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A man of God said, faith doesn't come by reading your Bible unless you heard from him while you were reading it. How many of you just read your Bible? You're not praying before you read it and asking God to reveal what he wants you to hear from him. Makes a difference. Try it. You might like it. Well, the same is true when you listen to a minister teach the word. Romans 10:14 asks us to consider this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You can't and won't. There is no believing without hearing, and there is no faith without believing. And to finish that scripture, and how shall they hear without a preacher? It doesn't say, how will they hear without a Bible? In other words, the anointing on the preaching of the word will cause you to hear in a way that brings revelation to your spirit. That's why preachers are necessary. God ordained it that way. It's not the person. It's the anointing that causes you to see and hear. I'm going slow with this because I really want you to get this. But even then, faith doesn't come by going to a meeting and hearing from preachers. Unless while you were listening, you heard from God. But you got to be prepared and willing to hear through the anointing. That is why your confessions are not working. You did not hear from God first. John 15:7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done for you. A good number of spirit-filled believers have gotten into the habit of using certain terms very loosely. And as I said last Sunday, I'm believing. I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that. It sounds very spiritual and faith-filled, right? But the number one question for us is, based on what? Based on what? The Bible's a big book, and it's filled with hundreds of promises for every situation, covered every situation. You don't believe me? You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And in the curse of the law is sickness and disease. Am I right? That's in Deuteronomy 28. Okay? But it says in verse 61, every sickness, every disease, known and unknown. He got every situation covered. And you've been redeemed from those curses. You got to claim it when you say it. But you got to know that it's from God for you to stand on. He did it for me, and I'm standing on it because I got that revelation of that to me. And I've been standing on it. I even told the lady there the other night, didn't I, Dean? Get that mask off your face. I explained to her that she was redeemed, and she was with a bunch of holy rollers. We had already prayed and put the blood over everything. Praise God. Okay. So how do you know what to stand on? Just picking a set of scriptures out of the Word to stand on without hearing from God first is a recipe for confessions that don't work. Faith doesn't come from going through the concordance and finding verses about something unless He, I'm talking about God, quickened one of them to you through the Holy Spirit. When you stand on and confess a verse over your situation, it should be an anointed rhema to you. To you. Now, you can ask God for something that isn't specified in His Word. But you can't confess something into being just because you want it. If you become more selective, you'll become more effective of speaking only what you hear from God. Hearing from Him all the time. Does that mean we should be praying and asking Him about everything? Yeah. Just look at your own history behind you, what you've been doing. Go to Him with everything. That's what He wants you to do. He shall lead and He shall direct you. And just be willing and obedient to listen. Hallelujah. So hearing from Him all the time, plus having His living words, His living words, living in you, is what is supposed to be what's coming out of your mouth. It's what you say. If you'll say what He says, He'll do what you say. He's not obligated to back every idea you come up with. He's not obligated to fund every project you come up with either, or every venture you launched into. He's the Lord. You're not. I know this can be hard to hear, but this is how we can begin to have and see our confessions come to pass. Remember the example about Brother Anthony, cutting your grass. Remember I talked about that last week? You say, I'm believing Anthony is going to come mow my grass. But that is only possible if Anthony told you that. You can't have faith that he'll do that unless you heard him tell you he would. And the same is true with God. Scripture says, how will they believe if they haven't heard? Faith in God can only be based on what you've heard from him. Faith in Brother Anthony cutting your grass can only be based on him saying he would do it. And he said he would do that for me when I first got injured. And I believed that. And he was there. He was there. Till I was able to get everything to order and get somebody to come cut my grass. He covered me. Because he said it, I knew it, and I could believe it. And he did it. Hope you don't mind, brother, using you, because you're a perfect example there. You're imitating the Father. Let me just tell you that, when you do something like that. So what's Hebrews 11 say? Faith. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now substance, when you look it up, it has the idea of that which lies under. It refers to something that has foundation that you stand on. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. The word hoped means expect. Expect. So faith is the foundation for expectation. Now, back up before that, because hearing is the foundation for faith. And faith is the foundation for expecting. So I'm expecting Anthony to come cut my grass, but based on what? Do you know Brother Anthony? You know, stand up so they can all see. So you, this is Brother Anthony, okay? Do you know Brother Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
Have you talked to him? And what did he say? Better yet, exactly what did he say? See, so that's where sometimes we get it messed up. Are you picking up what the Holy Spirit is putting down here? Because this is where many are missing it. This is why people are making confessions and it's not coming to pass. This is why people are praying prayers and it is not happening. Wouldn't it be presumptuous for you to presume that Anthony is going to cut your grass when you haven't even talked to him about it? That's presumptuous. This is not good. Yet that's exactly what's happening with God on a regular basis. People just decide what they want to happen, and they learned a few faith principles. So they start saying, and they start claiming it. But they never talk to God about it. How do you know what God has to say about it if you haven't even talked to him? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we're talking about anointed rhema here from God. Then that's when your faith comes. You can open up to Matthew 14. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but Matthew 14, so you can 22 through 23. This is where Jesus walks on the water. He sends his disciples to the other side of the lake ahead of him because he has to dismiss the crowd that he just fed with five loaves and two fishes. 5,000 or better, what was it? Yeah. But they're out there, and a big old storm arises, tossing the boat around. And Jesus, he comes to them in the dark of the night, walking on the water. Whoa, walking on the water. And they saw him, and it scared them. And he calls out to them, Don't be afraid, guys. It's just me. Remember, though, it's dark. It's raining heavy. The wind's blowing ferociously. And that boat is getting tossed all around out there by them big old waves. And Peter says, "Is that you?" Who else is going to be walking on the water? "Tell me to come on out there." And Jesus said, "Come." We know Peter got out of the boat and actually started walking on the water. Can you imagine that? Going, "Whoa, man, I'm on the H2O here. Look at this." And he's walking on the water. Peter is walking on the water. Could he have done that without hearing the word "come" from Jesus? Could he have done that? Or could he have said, "All things are possible to him who believes. I just get out of this boat." Or how about, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He could have quoted him all he wanted. He didn't hear from God. That's what's going to happen. Are you starting to get on a little bit of understanding here? We must differentiate between reasoning and revelation. We must learn this. The Lord said this, so why can't I do this? And I think I'll just do this. See, that's reasoning. And you can jump to conclusions and never have communicated with the Lord about it. Never asked him about it. Never heard from him about it. You've got to take the time. Well, it says this, so it must mean this. So I think I can do this. And here we go. And this is why people confess things and it doesn't happen. People pray things and it doesn't come to pass. Now, back to Peter here. Would you all agree with me that Peter could not have walked on the water without the rhema, without the rhema Christos? This was definitely a spoken utterance. How many of you believe it was anointed? Okay, all right. It was obviously anointed because it was the power that kept his feet above the water. We know he could not have done it without the word, because the very moment he took his eyes off of Jesus and the word, because they're one in the same, he began sinking. Peter could not have done it without the rhema anointed word. Could not have done it without that anointed utterance from Jesus. But when the Lord said, with just one spoken word, "Come," and Peter heard that, faith came. That's when faith came. That's why he got out of the boat, because when the Lord told him, "Come," it produced a seed where he could see himself doing it. When you have prayed for a rhema word from the Lord and you are reading his word, your spirit will hear from Holy Spirit that is the scripture to make your confession on. Now, Numbers 14. This is verse 41. Moses says to the Israelites, Why are you violating the commandment of the Lord when doing so will not succeed? The easy read version. But Moses said, why are you not obeying the Lord's command? You will not be successful. You think about the Israelites. There's a reason God told us to remember what they did. And he warned us not to duplicate their mistakes. God said, don't save the manna. They saved it. What happened to it? Don't gather on the seventh day. They went out and they tried to gather. That is why God called them stubborn and stiff-necked. Maybe that's where you've been, ignoring the small promptings and corrections. Our confession will not work if we aren't obeying what he said. The problem is, when you do that with smaller things, when it comes to the bigger ones, you're likely to do the same thing. See, that's what Israel did. God told them to go up and possess the land, for he had given it to them. It was theirs for the taking. Free. And they said, no, we're not going up. We're not going up. They did not move on a word from God. So in Numbers 14:25, God tells them to go into the wilderness. Since you don't want to go in there, you're going to go into the wilderness. And what did they say? Well, it wasn't until they saw that the 10 spies that went with Caleb and Joshua got the plague and didn't make it. That's all I'll say. They didn't make it. Well, you guessed it. In verse 40, they said, we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised. Now they're going to go up. They're looking at the wilderness. Those guys didn't make it. Hey, you know what? Let's just go possess that land. Can they have faith to go into the promised land now? They repented, right? They're making a good confession, right? No. Because God's last instructions for them were to go into the wilderness. Now, in verse 28 of Numbers, this is what Moses was instructed by God. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Verse 2 of 14. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. From 20 on up, where'd they die? In the wilderness. That was their words. Remember what you say. Can and will be used against you. Straighten it up. There's time. They could confess all day long that I can do all things through Christ. And all things are possible to them who believes. But they were out of alignment with His Word. It sounds like faith, but it isn't. It's blatant rebellion, folks. That's where we can get into trouble too. Quoting scriptures while ignoring what the Lord told you to do. Deciding to use your faith to do something else. Expecting God to back it and then getting mad when He doesn't is not faith. If you aren't obeying what He has said to you, your confessions will come up short. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. I think that's a lot for you to digest, so I think that's where we ought to be. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.